I am Andrew Langer in for Steve Gruber today. Good morning to all of you, one and all. Steve's off today. I am in. You've heard me before. I am the host of Andrew and Jerry Save the World, as well as the Lunch Hour with Federal Newswire. Both podcasts are available wherever you find podcasts. Please go and check those out. You can also follow me on Twitter at Andrew_Langer, on Twitter, facebook.com/AndrewLangerShow. In fact, if you're listening and you want to message me there, I will respond. The three big things you need to know today. Let's go through this. Number one, as we learn more about the Nashville shooter, President Biden refuses to say whether the attacker was specifically targeting Christians. Among Audrey Hale's victims was the daughter of her pastor. LGBTQIA plus groups do not want police to release her manifesto. The statement from a radical trans group calls her a victim, a more serious, more complex victim than the people she actually shot. At the same time, these groups are promoting a Trans Day of Vengeance, which is not being canceled. They're not canceling it. Discretion not being the better part of valor for these organizations. That is apparently going to still happen. It's now come out that as he was testifying before Congress several weeks ago, journalist Matt Taibbi was visited at his home by the IRS. Taibbi, one of the journalists covering the story of the interplay between the federal government and social media censorship, may have been the victim of identity theft, but why would the IRS visit him at his home to deal with it? This at a time when Congress is investigating the weaponization of federal law enforcement and its interplay with politics and political targeting. Story number three, the New York grand jury investigating Donald Trump will most likely not issue any indictments this week, according to ABC News. This after reports almost 2 weeks ago that Donald Trump would be arrested last week. We had a conversation earlier today with Peter Lucido, who is a prosecutor here in Michigan, in Macomb County, talking about the issues that the grand jury is facing and whether or not they are seeing that there is marginal justification for an indictment that's out there. Alvin Bragg, the DA in New York, under a tremendous amount of pressure, both externally to indict Donald Trump, but internally as well, reports showing that his internal staff doesn't think that there's any there. And they certainly don't want a massive loss, especially on issues like statutes of limitations. So we will see what happens there. I want to come back to this Matt Taibbi story. I was talking about this earlier, and I want to lay this out. What Grover Norquist was talking about in terms of the IRS and the Obama administration, and the general weaponization of these federal agencies. Now, I'm fond of quoting a statement from a man named Lavrenty Beria. And Lavrenty Beria was the head of the Soviet secret police while Stalin was the premier of Russia. And Beria was famous for saying, famous for the quote, "Show me the man and I will show you the crime." The idea being that if your laws are, if your system has a massive amount of laws on the books, and those laws are nebulous and they can be interpreted and reinterpreted and enforced and reinforced, that really you can find any person guilty of a crime. The law can be weaponized against a target is what I'm saying here. And this is one of the great problems. There's a gentleman named Henry Silverglade who wrote a book called Three Felonies a Day, in which he posits the idea that the body of law in the United States, especially federal law, is so vast and so intrusive into so many areas of everyday life that the average American commits three felonies a day without knowing it. And you tie those two statements together, the idea of three felonies a day and Lavrenty Beria's statement about show me the man and I'll show you the crime. And what it means is that if somebody in power wants to target you, they see you as a threat, they don't like the work that you're doing, whatever, they can weaponize federal law against you. Now, there are all other sort of other reasons why you don't want a massive regulatory state, besides the economic cost of regulation or the ability of government to pick winners and losers and how this begets corruption. Let's just focus on the weaponization of the law vis-a-vis targets. And let's go back to this issue of the Obama administration and the roots that these things had there. Because it wasn't just the IRS scandal under the Obama administration. There were examples after examples after examples of the Obama administration using federal powers to go after the administration's political opponents, from having wanting people to report fishy emails or countervailing information to the White House, to Operation Choke Point and going after entities with which the administration had an ideological animus, to my favorite, which, and I say that with gallows humor, the Obama administration using National Cancer Institute research funds, so funds that are supposed to be used to find a cure for cancer, using those funds to produce a report criticizing the Tea Party movement, going after the Tea Party movement. That's no joke. That actually happened. The Obama administration used cancer research funds to go after their political opposition. And so in this day and age now, we're seeing the next steps. We're seeing another version of Operation Choke Point, which I can get into if you want. The pressuring banks and credit card payment processors to do the administration's bidding, to shut off the bank accounts and the credit card payment processing accounts, again, of people they have an ideological animus against. We're seeing this right now, as I mentioned earlier with Jerry Rogers and others. There is pressure being put on Chase Bank to have potential Chase account holders, if they're in the nonprofit sector, disclose their donors to Chase. And again, as Grover and I were talking about, the only reason why nonprofit donor information, there's a call to make that information public, is so the donors to those organizations can be harassed, whether it's harassed by government entities or harassed by activists. We saw this happen in California after the passage of Proposition 8. We saw Senator Sheldon Whitehouse do this as well to donors to the American Legislative Exchange Council. By the way, expressly forbidden under existing federal law, a 1958 Supreme Court case called NAACP versus Alabama. In 1958, the U.S. Supreme Court knew that the state of Alabama only wanted the names of the donors to the NAACP because they knew the state of Alabama wanted to harass those donors. And so the Supreme Court said, yeah, you don't get access to that information. Well, here we are, decades later, more than half a century later, and we're back still fighting over these issues. This is why they want this information. And in the end, as I said earlier, the goal is to chill out opposing speech, to silence opposing speech, to discourage people from getting involved and being activists in opposing what the government is doing. And we need to, as a people, stand firm against this. We have to make sure that people are able to be active. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by, I'm going to mess this up, Ron Rademacher. No, I got it right. Ron Rademacher. He's a travel writer, someone who has this great website on Michigan Backroads, MichiganBackroads.com. I'm Andrew Langer, in for Steve Gruber. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Tomorrow is happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
The Michigan Chamber.
Over the past year, we've experienced incredible uncertainty. Businesses across the state have been shut down, unemployment skyrocketed, and Michiganders have been left wondering, what's next? And throughout this turmoil, your Michigan Chamber has been fighting for you to protect lives and livelihoods. We know that we're all in this together. Michiganders are strong and resilient, and we know that working together, we can bring Michigan back.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. It's against my religion. I'm giving my dog a bath. You can have pictures of that. Pressure gives me hives. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. Hold on, let me ask my mom. Sorry, my webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. Unfortunately, I just had my clothes surgically attached to my body. If they got out, I might never be president. I'm already naked, under my clothes. Not even if you were all three Jonas Brothers. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. The more you ask, the less I want to. You're not the boss of me. Nudity makes me vomit. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.